Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
We're going to pull a few lessons out of there. It's a lengthy passage, and what I hope to do is just read the beginning and the end, and in the middle, you will notice, if you have your Bibles, it's a little more evident than on the screen, that David has a psalm. And it's not a psalm you'll find in the Psalms, because it's a different blend. Call it a remix. And he is, singing this as a thanksgiving to God under the circumstances, which I'll get to in a bit. Let's read 1 Chronicles 16, and then at the end of the message, I'd like to read the psalm. 1 Chronicles 16, they brought the ark of God and set it for it, and they presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before God. After David had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each Israelite man and woman. He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, Zechariah second, then Jehiel, Shemaramoth, Jehiel, Mattathiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jehiel. They were to play the lyres and the harps. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow the trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. That day David first committed to Asaph and his associates the Psalm of Thanks to the Lord, which I'll read at the end. So let's skip to verse 37. David left Asaph and his associates before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to minister there regularly according to each day's requirements. He also left Obed-Edom and his 68 associates to minister with him. Obed-Edom, son of Jeduthun, and also Hosah were gatekeepers. David left Zadok, the priest, and his fellow priests before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place in Gibeon to present burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly morning and evening in accordance with everything written in the law of the Lord which he had given Israel. With them were Heman and Juduthan and the rest of those chosen and designated by name to give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Heman and Juduthan were responsible for the sounding of the trumpets and cymbals, for the playing of the other instruments for sacred song. The sons of Juduthan were stationed at the gate. Then all the people left, each for his own home, and David returned home to bless his family. This is a reading of God's word this morning. So basically, they were having a big old worship service, and they assigned people, godly people, to take roles within their celebration. Because at this point, we know that the people under David's leadership were coming back from an exile, which is very painful. They were gone and now returning, which sometimes gives more reason to celebrate than if you were always there. Some of us may be familiar with the prodigal son story, where you have the one son who leaves and then comes back after doing all his bad things and wrong things in life, and when he returns, the father throws a celebration for him. And then the older son, who stayed at home on the farm the whole time, said, "Hey, what's going on? You know, I'm the faithful one." We have lots of different circumstances, and right now, we don't have too many people sitting in this space that have been exiled and that are on their way back. And if they were here, let's say like a recent immigrant or somebody who had been kicked out of the house and now had just returned in the past couple of weeks, there's a different posture in terms of who we are when we are under those circumstances than if we were just sitting at home working and never have left or have experienced exile or some kind of immigration story in regards to being on a return journey. So understand that that's the context, and then understand a couple of things as to what Israel went through, which I'll get into in a few minutes. But first, I want to talk a little about the struggle and challenge, and I want you guys to join me. So as a pastor, as a Christian, as a person that's looking to try to be breathing life into people, the life that Christ would have us, we sometimes are challenged because we meet other people who perhaps don't know Christ, and we would like to breathe life into them, and we would like to help them to understand the hope that there is, but we sometimes don't know what to do, don't know what to say, and I get that. So I want you to struggle with me because I think when we have national celebrations, we have, like we have on this weekend for Canada Day, we have a hard time maybe seeing ourselves in the same situation as what David is with the people, celebrating and giving glory to God. Maybe it slips away on us or we do some devotions, but then the rest of the weekend is for pulling the camper out and just relaxing and chilling. And I understand that, but the struggle that I am inviting you to be part of is how do we party? How do we do a good job of celebrating when it comes to the beautifulness of our God and what He has given to us? Because I do think it's appropriate, but I do think we struggle in merging the two. For example, it wasn't so long ago when I was officiating a wedding, and I was doing the ceremony, and I think I can have a little bit of fun. I'm just going to judge myself. I think I did all right with the ceremony, and we laughed. It was pleasurable. It was beautiful. It was very celebratory and enjoyable, and the couple smiling the whole time, and it was beautiful service. But then someone got up and said, well, now I'll let the party begin. And I get that because it's all, you know, ties and everybody's stiff and sweating and almost like they want to get the celebration in the service, in the church service over so they can get on to what's really party. And I understand that transition, right? But I wish it wasn't there. I wish we didn't have this dichotomy of saying, this is called a celebration, but it's... You know, oh man, and then we finally get that part over with that, whatever that means, and then we're kind of like, woohoo, you know, getting it on, and we're doing what we want to do, and somehow there's a huge void between the two. Now, here's a struggle that I want you to join me on, because just this past week, I get invited on occasion to do funerals. And I don't know who these people are. They're people who need somebody to lead the funeral. In this case, it was a mother. And in this context of helping them lead, they said, our mother loved to dance. She would always be there when there was family and food and friends. She would just dance. It was beautiful. And I says, cool. Says, we would like to remember her and honor her by at the end of the funeral service to play, you ready? The chicken dance. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Wah, 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 wah. It happened. So when you say you've seen it all, you just put that phrase away. And so my question to you is not whether that was right or wrong, because I think they were really struggling themselves to find a way to honor their mother in the hopes of genuinely honoring her, and this was the way they were going to do it. But your chuckles and your laughter really helps me understand that you have a bit of tension if you were in that situation like I did. Like, I don't know how this is going to go. And we've all been to funerals, and they're very solemn, and they sing solos of Amazing Grace, and they read Scripture, and they find hope, and they wipe away the tears. And then, at the end, da-na-na-na-na-na. It just helped me understand how we so long to want to merge the two, but this huge void keeps us from helping us celebrate. I can tell you how it ended, and it wasn't that bad, but it wasn't about whether they chose the right or wrong song so much as it is about how do you celebrate knowing you serve a living, risen Christ? Or do you put that away so you can do your celebration and then come back and revisit that? Now, I'm not saying there's, again, a right or wrong, but there is a struggle within us all to reconcile, which goes back to the wedding where the guy says, oh, yeah, well, we got this out of the way now. Now we can party and actually have fun and celebrate and be thankful and be joyous. In our text, we see David leading the way, and the problems that they have are much like ours, where they have a nation that has gone through all kinds of things, which I said I was going to bring up, like governments that we like and don't like, governments that perhaps have power in which they misuse or use it well and do things that are very honoring or dishonoring. This is not new through the ages, because in King David's situation, when they came back into Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant, they have a whole history of wonderful kings that honored the Lord and really helped the people genuinely celebrate. And then they had kings that were terrible, didn't honor God at all, didn't give a rip, and said, you know what, we really got to do what we want to do, and let's do it right. And they had leadership that really turned against God, which we read throughout the Old Testament. This is the history of God's people back in the Chronicle days, but also in today's day and age, as we who have lived maybe a third or a half or more of our lives probably already have caught on. Up and down and all around. There was a downturn in their economy as well, in which they still had to celebrate to a living God with their whole nation. And so this is how they go about doing it, in terms of celebrating on two different levels. One is through song, and one is through sacrifice. The songs that they sing, which I want to have read here at the end, is one that David poured out of his heart. One that helps people understand about where they came from, and how it wasn't always great, and how there was always reason to complain. But we need to remember and give thanks. In fact, if you go through the psalm, as we will in a minute, there is a whole lot of language about giving. Not only just the offerings of tithing, but the offerings, the sacrifice of our ways and our living. There is much language in the psalm, as you will read, about thanksgiving. And there's much about singing, because that's what psalms are. They're songs. There's much about remembering, because, oh, how quickly we forget about what God has done for us. And about following and looking up to where our hope is, our Father in heaven. You'll read that all in the song in a minute. There's a spirit on David's heart. And this is something that I think is beautiful, because you can tell when a person is filled with joy when you catch them on their own singing a song or whistling a tune, because it's in them. This is also true for many people who mourn. There's mournful songs, painful songs. And this isn't any different in our pop culture, where we have people who sing songs and write songs down on paper because they do it for us. They have gone through some great pain. I tried to think of a few songs, and we could start with Harry Chapin's Cats in the Cradle, where he mourns the fact that he didn't spend enough time with his son, and then his son becomes just like him. It's a mournful song. People eat that stuff up because they're relating to it. And they're going, oh, yeah, that's me. You know, too busy, living life too fast. You You know, some of you might be staring and looking at the little mark on my forehead. I wasn't going to bring it up. But you know why it's there? I live life too fast. It's a piece of lumber. Day later, it's a willow branch. Hits same spot. I'm going, Lord, I have to preach on Sunday. They're going to ask. Thanks for leading the way, Cassandra. We live life too fast, and that's why we can relate to cats in the cradle. Now, maybe it's better to sing Walking on Sunshine, you know, or Don't Worry, Be Happy. World Cup soccer matches rally around the country's theme and create songs so nations can celebrate, and on it goes. Songs are powerful. And they are one of the ways in which we celebrate. Not only every church service, but as we celebrate with a nation on a day weekend like this weekend. The second is sacrifice. This is spelt out here in communion, which will be celebrated in a few minutes. It wasn't that long ago when we celebrated that big anniversary of D-Day. And I often thought, as the television laid out and I researched on the internet, the commitment of sacrifice of all these young lads, these young people who were mere teenagers that went one after another, even though they knew the cost. And I think about that sacrifice as we struggle to remember, much like David in his song tries to help his nation remember who God is in the bigger story, knowing how sacrifice is necessary. I won't say much more than that, other than, of course, the ultimate sacrifice is Christ and how he has given us the freedom, which sometimes we so quickly forget. I know on Remembrance Day they say, lest we forget, but so many seem to struggle to remember. I know when the Twin Towers went down, we will never forget. And when there are great genocides, when there is poverty, we will never forget. But somehow, we give birth to children who struggle to remember the power, who struggle to remember the death of Christ on the cross as we try to pass on the legacy of the hope that we have in our Creator, God, Father in heaven, through the Holy Spirit. But sacrifice is the second thing that David is talking about, along with song, that is important, even though they aren't favorable in our culture, as ways in which we celebrate as a nation. And so the first priority that David has was taking that Ark of the Covenant and finding a place for it in Jerusalem. As they marched it into the city, and it was a homecoming after the exile, regardless of all the bad governing and the good governing they had, here they are. And the first thing they do, because we are asked in our tithe, in the day, first day of the week, to bring ourselves to God and to worship Him and to continue doing that, called our first fruits, giving our firsts back to God. This is what David is doing. And so through this song and sacrifice and priority, we now can read the psalm that he lays out for his nation in terms of celebration. That day, David first committed to Asaph and his associates a psalm of thanks to the Lord. Here it is. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, the judgments he pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant, O sons of Jacob, his chosen one. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as the portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, amen. And praise the Lord. Right out of Scripture. In this passage, there's one guy. Just want to point out before we move into communion. His name is Obed-Edom. Do a little study if you want to go further. But this is the heartbeat of a person that is a citizen of a country that has national celebrations in light of what God has done and will do. Obed-Edom never had any pride, it seemed. It's interesting because in our passage, when there was opportunity to play the lyre and the harp, then he was there. If you read earlier, and I think it's chapter 13, people were fearing the Ark of the Covenant. And Obed-Edom says, I'll take it. I'll take the presence of God and have him at my house as long as it takes. I don't know if he had a wife or what she thought or where it was going to fit in their house, but it's quite something because Obed-Edom always seemed to be willing to be as close as he could to God. Even, as it indicates in another chapter, where there was an opportunity just to be the doorman of the place in which the Ark of the Covenant sat. And if Obed-Edom could do that, it at least was an opportunity to live his life close to God, because that Ark of the Covenant represented God. It's the heartbeat of the Obed-Edoms, wanting to walk and be close to God in all things, that centered around the average citizen that put on the celebration that King David led. I do believe that there's a great deal of sacrifice in which we see Obed-Edom live his life, because he probably had to make time for some of the things he did. There's great sacrifice that we read in light of how we are to live, knowing that our God and his Son Jesus Christ gave the ultimate sacrifice. And so we will celebrate that, but we will do it with great joy. And I would lead you by having you lift up your hearts to the Lord in prayer as we prepare to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Let's pray. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ our Lord, by whose grace we may triumph over temptation, be more fervent in prayer, and be more generous in love. And therefore, we join our hearts, along with the saints and the angels and all of creation, in one voice to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of our worship, come and join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. here in Lacombe. Be blessed wherever you are.